Well, I'm not sure who did it, but somebody let the cat out of the bag. So I'll just go ahead and tell you. The real reason why I've been growing my hair out and my beard out is because Netflix is doing a new series called The Modern Day Jesus, and I got the star role. So you guys might not see me around very much. No, Jim, you got the role for Elvis, I think. So I'm totally joking. Apparently, you don't think I'm a good part because y'all didn't laugh or y'all didn't clap or anything. All right. No, I'll be here. This is what God's called me to do. And until he calls me to be Jesus on a television screen, then I'll be here. All right. So if you guys were here last week, we did Honorable Confrontation 1. And so this is 2. And if you weren't able to be here last week, just go in our app, VL Church, and all the messages are in there, the message notes, and the audio from our previous sessions. And so we'd love for you to check that out. But let's pray as we get started tonight. God, I thank you that your word is true, and your word is good, and your word is useful for teaching and for correction and for everything we need. And God, we thank you for that. I pray that your word would go deep in our hearts tonight, Father, and that we would understand the importance of staying in relationship and serving each other as we take a courageous step into confrontation. And help us to change our mindset and the way we think about this, the way we see it, and help us to do it better. Help me to do it better. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so honorable confrontation, hashtag conflict and I don't get along. Anybody ever said that? Yeah, me and conflict, we don't get along very well. And if you want to know about the hashtag thing, then listen to last week's message. All right, if you know what hashtags are, then you know exactly what we're talking about. You're in the know. So I'm just going to go through real quickly my first slides from last week just to get us back on the right track, get back in line. It's been a week, so we've slept since then. But in a culture of honor, conflict is inevitable and unavoidable. When there is conflict in a relationship, we can ignore it, right? Oh, it's not a big deal. We can accept it, like, oh, that's just the way they are. They're never going to change, so we just accept it, right? Or we can confront it. Well, based on the highlighted word, you can probably guess what we're talking about, or from the title. But we are going to confront it, and we're going to talk about why. And we went into Matthew 18 last week in depth, pretty much that whole chapter, and it was really good. But this week, we're going to dive into what does that look like, and how do we prepare for it, and how do we go about doing it? So in a culture of honor, we value healthy relationships enough to engage in honorable confrontation. And maybe to some of you that seems like an oxymoron, honorable and confrontation, because of past experiences and maybe what conflict or confrontation has meant to you. And that's unfortunate because when we're coming from a place of a bad experience, it takes more work to try and change the way we think. And courage to try and head into it in a healthy way to where it brings life and not destruction. Unresolved conflict rapidly erodes the safety and connection in relationships. That's why this is important, because unresolved conflict erodes, right? It erodes. And how many of you know when something gets eroded, things start to slide down? It's not good. They crash down. That was it. Did y'all see that? So in a culture of honor, we confront behavior that threatens the health of the relationship. Relationships is what we're all about. Because that's what Jesus is all about. That's what God is all about. That's why he sent something so precious to him, like his only son, to die for us. He bankrupted heaven for me and you. Relationships is what he's all about, and he puts everything on the line for relationship. And so if there is behavior that threatens the health of our relationships, we're going to confront it. We ain't playing. We are going to stay in relationship with each other. We're going to fight for our relationships. That's relationships with your spouse, relationships in your family, relationships in our church family, relationships with your coworkers, your boss. Maybe you're like, yeah, I don't care about that one that much. But you should. Only a couple people chuckled, so maybe that was too real. There is a line between healthy confrontation and unhealthy contention. So your bad experience might have been unhealthy contention. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about healthy confrontation. So let's jump in to what that looks like. So this is where the scripture we're going to frame this out of. So Proverbs 4, 23 through 27, guard your heart above all else. For out of it, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So our frame for honorable confrontation is our heart, our mouth, our eyes, and our feet. And specifically, we're going to break down the what, the how, and the why. You guys ready? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to have a Selah moment? Not everybody's ready. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. First, we start with the heart. For out of it flows everything. Humility, and we talked a lot about arrogance and pride last week. Humility is the posture of love and honor and is the only appropriate attitude when confronting unhealthy behaviors. Proverbs 18:12, a man's heart is the proudest when his downfall is the nearest. So, I promise you, I guarantee that your downfall is real near when you're real proud. It's real close. It's right there. I guarantee it. That's what the Bible says. And I can guarantee the Bible all day because God's word is true. And it won't fail. For he won't see glory until the Lord sees humility. Man, that's so good. Man, you want the glory of God? Man, you want to experience God's glory? Humility. So the what? The what is with our heart, we humbly serve one another rather than abuse or manipulate. Now listen, I know we hear the word abuse and manipulate and we're like, oh, I'd never do that. But listen, we're unaware of the things that we're unaware of. Right? And so we may be doing that without knowing it because we have pride or because we're seeking our own desires. So we got to be aware. We got to have awareness. And the best way to get awareness, one, Holy Spirit, and two, is ask other people. They will make you aware. So I used to work for Chick-fil-A, and I used to travel around the country and run corporately owned restaurants for Chick-fil-A. So I went into a new restaurant, Chick-fil-A took over ownership. So I came in, and me and a buddy of mine, and we had leaders on that staff, and after we'd been there, I don't know, a couple weeks maybe, I went to my leaders, and I said, hey, what did you think about me when I first got here? You don't know what they said? We thought you were a jerk. We thought you were prideful. We thought you were arrogant. What? Are you serious? What do you think about me now? Oh, man, you're awesome. So what did I become aware of? Because, see, I had gotten comfortable in walking into challenging situations and being confident. And what happened is I walked into that situation because I'd ran several other stores, and I walked into that with confidence and wasn't aware of the fact that my perception was pride or I was a jerk, right? I wasn't aware. Was that my intention? Never. Never is that my intention. But that's what the perception was. And I've got to be aware of that. So ask other people. So I got to be aware when I first meet people, how do they perceive me? So our heart, how? Confront your own heart before you confront someone's behavior. Now, this is hard because when someone exudes or behaves in a way that is contrary to what we think is right or okay, what do we want to do? I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that to me. How dare they? What were they thinking? What do they think? I'm an idiot? We get mad. We feel wronged, right? And if we respond from that place, does it ever go well? Nope. Right? So if we confront our own heart before we confront someone else's behavior, what's that going to do? It's going to completely change how we go about that, right? And we're going to realize I got some pride. Because if my thought is, how dare they? I got pride. If that's your first thought, you have pride. I have pride. Why am I getting so upset? Let's think about it for a minute. Have I ever said anything that was dumb and retarded? Yes. Okay. I think I can give people some grace. We got to confront our own heart first. And your action step from last week was when you feel wronged, when you feel like somebody hurt you, when you feel like somebody did something to you that wasn't okay, the first thing you're going to do is write it down. Everything you're feeling, everything you're thinking, you're going to write it down. Notice I'm not using the word journal. Because I know there's probably some guys who are like, journal, that's girl stuff, man, diaries and stuff. Just get a piece of paper and write on it. Like, write on your arm. Like, don't do that, then people see it. But we got to confront our own heart first. Why? We value forgiveness and reconciliation more than retribution or condemnation. Because we want retribution, right? They better make that right. Son. We value forgiveness and reconciliation above these things. This is more important. You want to know how important forgiveness is? Matthew 18. For those of you who were last week, what did Jesus say? So Jesus, like we got to forgive him like 7 times in a day, bro? Or like, what's up? 70 times 7. Oh, Lord. God, increase our faith. No, but think about it for a second. Think about somebody who wrongs you 7 times in one day. What are you going to do? Oh, we done. I'm out of here. Right? Seems kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Yeah, I think it's ridiculous too, but I didn't say it. Jesus did. And I'm a Jesus follower. So I better reconcile that. He said 70 times 7. So Jesus is all about forgiveness. And might I remind us that Jesus is the one who bore our sin. We receive the ultimate forgiveness. Maybe we should get better at this. I know I should. I know I need to get better at forgiveness and walking in forgiveness instead of holding things against others. So that's why. So here's our Selah. So Selah means pause and think about it. So let's pause. Oh, we gotta let this sink in. What? We humbly serve one another rather than abuse or manipulate. How? We confront our own heart before we confront someone else's behavior. Why? We value forgiveness and reconciliation more than retribution or condemnation. Whew. Pause and think about it. Okay. Galatians 6:1, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for who? Yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out, because I guarantee if you gave critical comments to someone, you need forgiveness now, right? Save your critical comments for yourself. You're going to need forgiveness before the day is out, guaranteed. So next is the mouth. What? We lovingly speak the truth and eagerly listen with love to one another rather than try to make a point. How often are we trying to make our point? I got to make my point. I got to speak up or my point's not going to get made. Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not find joy in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Hey, let's not be a fool. I tell my kids all the time, hey, don't be a fool. Don't act like a fool. The Bible's got a lot to say about fools, and it ain't good. So we're going to lovingly speak and then eagerly listen. You know, I like that word eagerly. You know why? Because it gives me an image of what you're doing. I'm not just listening like, yeah, whatever. I know what you really meant. No, you're eagerly listening because it's about reconciliation. It's not about me getting things getting made right because you wronged me and I'm mad. No, it's about reconciliation. I care about this relationship. This relationship matters to me. Yes. So I'm going to eagerly listen to what you have to say because I want to believe that you didn't mean to hurt me. I want to believe that you really love me and care about me, so what you did was unintentional. So I'm going to eagerly listen to you. How? We're going to listen to understand and not to respond. We do that all the time, right? While they're talking, we're thinking about what we're going to say. Because we're professional debaters. We're like, I got this. Yeah, I got to come back for that right there. You just wait. As soon as you're done talking, I'm going to hit you hard. Because we listen to respond, right? We don't listen to understand. Imagine how many conversations would be different if we listened to understand. So when I'm looking at a person, I'm not just thinking about what I'm going to respond to them. Guys, this is, guys and gals, this is great for marriage, okay? I'm looking at their face. What are their nonverbal cues telling me right now? What is their facial expressions? What words are they saying? What's coming out of their mouth? How are they expressing themselves right now? I'm studying. I'm looking. I'm learning to understand. Maybe the words that they're saying isn't really telling me the whole picture. But if I don't pay attention, if I'm just listening to respond, I'm not going to know that. Proverbs 18:13. Whoever gives an answer before he listens is stupid and shameful. Oh, boom. Okay, so if that offends anybody, it's okay. I got another version. Listen before you speak, for to speak before you've heard the facts will bring humiliation. How many people you know, they like start talking, they don't know all the facts, and they look like an idiot? Right? Hey, listen, I've done it, right? We got any, so those of you who know what DISC is, the DISC personality test, I'm a D, right? So D's are the type of personalities, your D's and your I's. They're like, ready, ready, fire. They don't need to aim. They just ready and fire. So I know, yeah. But guess what? You're going to get humiliated. And we don't like to be humiliated, do we? Uh-uh. Because here's the thing. So let me give you an example, okay? Husbands and wives, spouses, all right? So your spouse comes up to you, and I won't use him or her or any of that, just to avoid, because I'm a guy and I'm speaking, like y'all think I'm attacking certain people. So your spouse comes up to you and says, hey, did you do the dishes? What is that? What's funny about dishes? I do the dishes in my house, bro. So it could be either way. Oh, don't. I can probably do it more, so don't be clapping too much. Okay, so I'm going to press pause on that story. We're going to come back to that story. Okay. James 1, 19 and 20. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Let's look at the Passion Translation. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. We'd be using anger, right? We're like, Jesus got angry, it's okay. It is okay to get angry, but it's not okay to use it as a tool against someone else. Let that anger drive you to do the right thing. Let that anger drive you to search your own heart first. Let that anger drive you to a place of humility. Because you know you're going to need forgiveness before the day is out. Why? We value love and truth more than getting our own way. But we like our own way. Our way's the best, after all. If you're a C, your way is probably the best, so it makes it a little more challenging. But we got to value love and truth more than getting our own way. Selah. Okay. What? We lovingly speak the truth and eagerly listen with love to one another rather than trying to make a point. How? By listening to understand, not to respond. Why? Because we value love and truth more than getting our own way. Pause and think about it. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Man, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That's what's making you fit for himself. Not you, the Holy Spirit. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting and backbiting and profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. See, I like the end of this because it says, as quickly. How quickly does God forgive you? Boom. It's already done. Right? It's already done. No matter what you do, you're already forgiven. That's pretty fast. Forgive one another as quickly. We got to work on this. Come on. Speaking for myself. As quickly and thoroughly. I like that right there, right? Because we're like, I'll forgive him for that. I'll forgive him for that over there, but this over here, I ain't forgiving him for that. I can't do it. That was too bad. Just wronged me too much. Too much hurt, too much pain. Right? Quickly and thoroughly. It's God's word. Eyes. So now we're to our eyes. What? We purposefully see the value in one another rather than pointing out their faults. It's real easy. Listen. You're not a... Just because you can see people's faults doesn't mean you're a wise person. It's very common for people to see faults. We live in a culture, in a world where we love to point out faults. We can have somebody in high esteem, whether it's a preacher, whether it's an actor, whether it's a sports star. Man, they're in high esteem. They make one mistake, boom, done, right? Pointing out each other's faults. Everybody falls. Everybody makes mistakes. But we put so much value on being perfect, on not making mistakes. So we're going to purposefully see the value in one another rather than pointing out their faults. How? We're going to distinguish the difference between the facts and your stories. Because there's facts, and then there's the stories we tell ourselves. And we all tell ourselves a story. We all tell ourselves a story. But we tend to tell our stories as facts. So let me give you an example. Coworker comes into your office. They walk in. They drop the money bag on your desk. They go, turn around and walk out. So the facts are, they walked into your office. They dropped the money bag on your desk. They went, it's not even a word, whatever that is. And they turned around and walked out, didn't say nothing to you. Those are the facts. Well, you start quickly telling yourself a story. Oh, nuh-uh. They got a problem with me. What's their problem? They're mad at me. We start going through all these stories we tell ourselves in our head, right? And within 30 seconds, we've got five stories that we've already played out in our minds, right? Is it true? Maybe. I don't know. Do you know? You go and find out. Oh, no, I'm going to go in that office right now. And you go in that office and you react out of the story you've told yourself. Well, if you had five, then you selected the one that was probably the worst, because that's just tend to what we do. The one that's the worst, and then that's the one you're going to go respond with. Oh, you got a problem with me? What's your deal? That do something to you, huh? How's that probably going to work out? Yeah, I got a problem with you. That was your job, and I did it for you. And I had to stop what I was doing so I could pick up your slack. And I'm sick and tired of you slacking around here at work. This is not a real example. I made it up. It got real intense for a second, so just letting you know, it's not a real story. Did that work out well? No. What if we distinguish between the facts and the stories? I know what the facts are, and because of those facts, it leads me to believe this. So I'm led to believe that they're not happy with me. But I don't know if that's true. The only way I'm going to know if it's true is if I ask the right way. You got a problem, bro? What's your deal? No, that's not how you ask. Proverbs 18:17, the one who states his case first seems right until the other one comes and examines it. You know, you ever heard someone's side of the story and you're like, oh man, that's jacked up. That poor person. And then the other person comes and tells their side. So they're like, oh snap. Was that person lying? There's two sides to every story, right? That's another scripture. So we're going to distinguish the difference between facts and your stories. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs, and be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, because we will get on each other's nerves. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. We tend to snap, huh? I can tell you from personal experience, snapping never works out good. When I have snapped at my wife, it ain't worked out good. When she has snapped at me, guess what? I'm coming back, because I'm a D, right? Ready, fire. It don't work out well. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. When we snap at each other, are we bringing out the best? Nope, we're bringing out the worst. Does anybody like the worst being brought out of them? No, because generally what happens is the worst comes out, and then you feel dumb and you feel stupid, and now the enemy can condemn you because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to accuse you all day long, and now you're going to pay for that for the next 3 days. Feeling dumb, feeling stupid. Now you got to get built back up in Christ. Whew, that'll wear you out. Why? We value one another's potential and needs more than just getting our own needs met. And we focus on our own needs so much. Well, this is a need I have. How am I going to get it if I don't recognize it and find a way to get it? We value others' potential and their needs more than ourselves. Because that's biblical, guys. But we think that our own needs will never get met. Well, listen, if you'll stop focusing on your needs and you'll start focusing on other needs, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's family, you'll focus on their needs. Now you've moved yourself out of the way for God to provide your needs. Because if you're trying to do it, God ain't gonna do it. He will let you do it. He will let you fail at it. He will let you get mad at him because he didn't provide it when you were getting in the way. You got to get yourself out of the way by focusing on others and then let him provide for your needs. Selah. Let's pause and think about it. What? We purposely see the value in one another rather than pointing out their faults. How? We distinguish the difference between the facts and your stories. So that situation at work. So what if instead I thought to myself, wow, that person doesn't seem like they're very happy. So instead, if I went to their office and said, hey, when you came into my office and you dropped the bag, fact, on my desk, went, didn't say anything to me, turned around and walked out, that caused me to feel like that maybe you're upset with me. Is that true? Now, I'm not accusing. I'm asking a legitimate question, and I'm going to listen to eagerly understand. Eagerly listen to understand. Right? I'm going to get a different answer, aren't I? And that response might be, well, yeah, I'm kind of frustrated because I'm busy doing all this work and you didn't do your job and it became very urgent to get this done. And so I had to do it. I had to drop what I was doing and do your job. So yeah, I'm kind of frustrated with you right now. And how you respond is going to determine how this conversation goes. And if you have already looked at your heart and now you're coming from a place of humility and you go, man, I am so sorry. Man, I've been so busy working on this project over here and I got a deadline to meet and I knew I had to get that done, but I was just so focused on this over here. I'm so sorry that you had to drop everything you were doing. Can I just tell you I really appreciate you? Thank you so much for doing that. That really means a lot. Oh, you know, I'm so sorry. I forgot you were working on that project and I know it's a big deal and it's really important. It's one of the most important projects we have this year. And so listen, don't worry about it. Wow, reconciliation. Isn't that a lot better than coming home and slamming your door at your house and unloading to your spouse because you got a stupid coworker who's a jerk who can't even do one thing for you while you're busy on this big project? Facts and stories. Here's another one. I got to tell this one quick. So let's go back to the spouse story. Okay, so your spouse says, hey, did you do the dishes? Hey, did you do the dishes yet? Now, depending on how they say that, remember facts. The fact is they asked a question, did you do the dishes? Now, the tone they said it with, the volume they said it with, right? And I'm using those words on purpose. Yeah. I didn't say attitude, because everyone's definition of attitude is different. And I guarantee you, your definition and your spouse's definition of attitude is not the same. So you're going to spend your time arguing about attitude instead of the real thing. So their volume, right? Decibels, those are facts. Okay? So they might have said, you done the dishes yet? That's a fact. They might have shook their head. That's a fact. But I'm not going to say attitude. That's not a fact. That's my story. Okay? Now, let's play out how that probably would go, right? The dishes? Are you kidding me? I've been in that bathroom fixing that busted pipe for half the day. And then I had to mow the yard the day before that. And the day before that. You fill in the blank. I can't believe you're asking me about the dishes. Like, you don't give a rip about anything I do around here. I work my tail off and you're asking me about the dang dishes. I ain't hear no shouting in here. So what if, instead of that response, I addressed my own self first? Because maybe I have a need that's not being met. And that's why I feel that way. But if I don't ever look at my own heart, if I don't ever look inside of me, then guess what? It's just going to be out there. And there's just going to be this conflict every time things like this come up. Because it's down in there somewhere. So maybe you don't feel appreciated. Maybe you don't feel like your spouse sees all the things that you do. So therefore, that's deep down in there. And then when a conflict happens, that comes out. So instead, if you were to go, man, honey, humility, right? Remember humility? Man, honey, I'm so sorry. And that can go both ways, right? Male or female, you can call them honey. Man, honey, I'm so sorry. And sometimes husbands are more mechanical and sometimes women are more mechanical, all right? This goes both ways. But you're like, honey, man, I'm so sorry. Man, that pipe busted and I had to work on that for so long. And the day before that, I had to mow the grass. And then, man, the engine light came on in my car. Man, I'm so sorry I haven't got to the dishes yet. I'm going to get to that. Oh, honey, you know what? I forgot about that pipe busting, and I didn't know about your engine light, but hey, thank you so much for everything you do around here. And you know what? Don't worry about the dishes. Oh, isn't that so much nicer? That's not a pipe dream. Okay? That is not a pipe dream. When you have humility in your heart, you address your heart first. That's not a pipe dream. So why do we differentiate between the facts and the stories? Because we value one another's potential and needs more than just getting our own needs met. Amen. The story is she doesn't appreciate what I do. That's a story. You don't know that for a fact. You got to ask questions. Feet. Oh, there's my timer. Okay. The what. We courageously step toward confronting one another with love rather than ignoring unhealthy behaviors or accepting disconnection. Look at that. I fixed that. Confront how? We confront the person's behaviors, not the person's motives or their heart. Because see, when we confront people's motives, there's going to be a fight. Because if that's not what they intended, there will be a fight. We're not confronting motives or heart. You don't really truly know their motive or their heart. Only they do. And the only way you can find out is to address their behavior, and then their motives and heart will come out. So, hey, when you did this, behavior, fact, when you walked up and slammed the door, whatever the fact is, when you did the behavior, this is how it made me feel. This is how I felt. Okay? And then they can respond with their motive. Man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Or, yeah, I was ticked off at you and I slammed that door. I mean, you got to trust them to be truthful. And if they're not truthful, then you got to let God deal with that. You can still question it, right? Try and get to it, but you can't make them tell you. Why? We value healthy relationships and genuine unity more than our feelings of comfort and artificial harmony. Healthy relationships and unity. Listen, we like to be comfortable. We like comfort, right? We want to lay in our bed and drink our coffee and snuggle up on the couch with a warm blanket. Like, we love comfort. But we gotta value healthy relationships and unity more than our feelings of comfort or artificial harmony. Because artificial harmony, things will eventually erode because it's fake, it's not real. We're just pretending like everything's okay when it's not, when inside we're slowly eroding away. Inside we're getting burned up. And we say it's not a big deal, but things that aren't a big deal build and build and build till they are a big deal and you blow up. Or you've had enough and you never address the first thing. Guys, this is the enemy. This is what the enemy does. The enemy hates unity. The enemy hates relationship because it's God's way. We got to get tenacious about relationships. We got to get mad, but not at each other. We got to get mad at the devil because he is trying to erode our relationships. This is what the kingdom is built on. Successful confrontation will always strengthen relational connections. Confrontation not only helps to identify and resolve issues causing disconnection, it enables people to love one another more skillfully, which prevents future conflict and makes connections more conflict resilient. It's worth it. It's hard. It takes courage, but it's worth it. So let's think about the feet. What? We courageously step toward. Courageously. It takes courage, guys. You got to get some intestinal fortitude. It takes courage to step toward someone. To confront one another with love rather than ignoring unhealthy behaviors or accepting disconnection. We can't accept disconnection. How? We confront the other person's behaviors, not their motives or their heart. Why? We value healthy relationships and unity more than our feelings of comfort and artificial harmony. And then we talked about that scripture. That's the one that talks about when your brother wrongs you, go to him in private or her in private. And if they listen to you, awesome, you've won them back. If they don't, get two or three other ones and go because you're trying to reconcile. You're going in humility, not so you can prove that they're wrong. And then if that doesn't work, man, go get the leaders of the church because you're trying to reconcile. And I'm out of time, so I'm just going to reference last week's message. And that then the end is the 170 times 7. We value healthy relationships enough to engage in honorable confrontation and confront behavior that threatens the health of the relationship. Now what? So now we're talking about this in the context of relationship, which means your spouse, your family, your friendships, and especially your church family. Because God has chosen one way to change and impact the world. One way. His church. That was his choice. And we have to fight to stay in relationship with each other because that's the only way the world's going to know God. It's the only way the world's going to experience the love of Christ is by us and how we do life together. So, as you move forward, what does this look like? We humbly serve. You got to change the way you think. You don't think of confrontation as serving. But we humbly serve one another rather than abuse or manipulate. We lovingly speak and eagerly listen to one another rather than making a point. We purposely see the value in one another rather than pointing out faults. And we courageously step toward one another in love rather than ignore or accept unhealthy relationships. That's the what. How? We confront our own heart before you confront someone else's behavior. If you don't do your own heart first, it's not going to work out. I promise. You got to confront your heart first. You listen to understand, not to respond. You distinguish the difference between facts and stories, and you confront the person's behaviors, not the person's motives or heart. Why? Because we value forgiveness and reconciliation. We value love and truth. We value meeting one another's needs, and we value healthy relationships and genuine unity. So, embracing accountability. So how do we react when someone comes to serve us? Serve. Gotta change the way you think. We assume they are trying to serve us by confronting us. We stay humble and refuse to be offended at them no matter what. Guys, people are gonna come to you in the wrong way with the wrong attitude, but you gotta refuse to be offended and you gotta stay humble. Because if there's any ounce of truth in what they're saying to you, then you can get better. And I don't know about you, but I'm in the practice of getting better. And they may have said a whole bunch of story, and there was one little shred of truth in there, but I'm not going to reject the truth because it was full of a whole bunch of stories they told themselves. Mouth, I'm going to listen for what they're trying to say, not necessarily the words they're using. We don't always use the right words. We don't always know how to say what we're trying to say. So let's listen to what they're trying to say to us. Listen attentively to their perspective, then speak the truth in love. Refuse the temptation to react defensively. As soon as someone starts confronting something in us, what's the immediate thing? Right here, you feel it. Right here, that defense mechanism, right? Man, we got to fight that. We got to refuse the temptation to react defensively. We got to stay humble. Man, thank you so much for coming to me. I know it's hard. I know it takes courage to come and tell that to me. Thank you so much. Eyes, we're going to focus on the value of healthy relationships, not the uncomfortable feelings of confrontation. Notice their needs, not just fight to meet yours. And then our feet, we're going to respond with gratitude and avoid reacting defensively. We refuse the temptation to drift toward disconnection. It's very tempting to drift towards disconnection. But we can't do it. We got to fight. You have an enemy, and he's the one fighting you. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, guys. We wrestle against principalities and powers and darknesses in the heavenly realms. Therefore, we'll put on the armor of God, which is the mind of Christ. Ephesians 6:12, my favorite scripture since I was a little kid. We got to put on the armor, or we're not going to be ready when the enemy's coming and shooting those darts at you. And what he tricks you into thinking is that that person's your enemy, and that person's your enemy, and that person said that, and that person did that, and I can't believe it. And now I'm going to another church again. Because people are going to be people, and they're going to make mistakes no matter what church you go to. But you got to fight to stay in relationship. The enemy knows what he's doing. He has a plan. And it's to break relationship, especially in the church, which is God's answer for the world. Amen? Let's pray. Daddy, we thank you. God, you love us so much. God, help us to love others like you love us, Father. Help us to have a 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 love for each other. Help us to practice that. Help us to work on it. And we're not going to be perfect. But God, help us to practice and to approach each other in humility and love as we serve each other. God, we need your Holy Spirit, God. This is hard. This is challenging. We need your Holy Spirit. We need courage, Father. And I thank you that you're going to help us to do this in love with our spouses, with our families, with our friends, with our church family, so that we can bring reformation to our cities, to our communities, and that people can go, man, you wouldn't believe the way those people at Victory Life love each other. You wouldn't believe how much they forgive each other. You wouldn't believe how they fight for relationship. God, let that be said about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, if you guys need prayer, if there's a difficult situation that you now know that you're going to have to go talk to somebody, man, get prayer. Because relationships matter and they're important. So our prayer team will be down here if you guys need prayer for anything else, healing in your body, any kind of difficult situation you might have. Man, that's what we're here for. But we love you guys and we'll see you Sunday.